Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Popcast version B.
What happened to Popcast?
Oh, do you want me to do it that way?
Popcast!
Is that better?
Yeah.
That make you happy?
I feel satisfied with
that. I'm just mixing it up a little bit, you know? Got to keep you guys on your toes.
Nalen screwed up the recording yesterday.
It's unfair to blame him completely.
No, it was completely his fault. He's an idiot.
And we can say that because he's not here to defend himself.
That's right, because he is sick. Not only does he screw up then to hide himself, he calls in sick.
Oh, man.
For take two, he calls in sick.
Well, it is going around. The disease that makes you not plug things in correctly.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about something else.
No. So, since you've already had some practice, gentlemen, who wants to go? And by the way, we have a special guest with us, Mr. Culture Vulture. That's such a hard thing to say. Have you noticed that?
Doesn't roll off the tongue.
Yeah, there are games where they try and say it fast 10 times.
Culture Vulture Brandon Griggs is here with us, and he's sitting back in his contemplative mode. But every now and again, he's gonna spring forth with some zingers. We're just sure of it.
Zing, zing. They're coming any second.
I'm starting to wish we had Sean in here now.
Ooh!
All right. Come back, Culture Vulture.
We may have to go for take three now.
Well, actually, then.
The lead today in the purple section of the Salt Lake Tribune, that's the feature section where we have Pop Top. The lead today is two, I think, really maybe the best movies of last year for me. They all come out, both on the same day today, on DVD. One is Children of Men, which I think everyone here has seen, right?
I have not, yes.
You have?
Brandon raises his hand.
when he simply could have said, yes. He actually raises it. You know, did I tell you that this is an audio podcast and not a video podcast?
Culture Vulture raises hand.
I've got a hand made for TV.
Yeah, you know, it's a great movie. And you know, it's just a wonderful science fiction movie that is got a great story. It's told really well by director Alfonso Cuarón, who did, I think, the best of the Harry Potter movies, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. And he does such an exceptional job here because the movie is so tightly made. The story is told really well. Great special effects. It's a story, a futuristic story in the near future about where everyone has become infertile for some reason. In fact, I don't think it's ever really explained in the movie. And for some reason, you know, it's been 18 years. No one's had any, has been able to have a baby. And the children have all grown into young adults, so there's really no children left. And the movie is about Clive Owen plays a sort of a normal guy in England who is thrust into this journey where he has to help who they find out is maybe the only pregnant woman around. They found out this woman was able to have a baby, and he's responsible for escorting her to this safe haven. And the movie's really spectacular. I mean, I think it's a great thriller. There's great action scenes. Cuarón does a great job of directing all of these scenes with an amazing deft hand. And it's really one of the best dramas. I'm just really upset it didn't get nominated for anything besides the three minor technical awards.
I was
going
to ask, do you feel it got slighted at the
Academy
Awards? Yeah,
I mean, I think we had talked about yesterday. Best Director, I think it should have been nominated for Best Picture. I think movies like Babel and Little Miss Sunshine could have easily, you know, moved out to let Children of Men in. But that's me.
Well, maybe not Babel.
Well,
I like Babel better because of its scope. Well, maybe not better is the right word, but maybe as far as Academy Award nominees go, because it had a broader scope.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not a good movie, but the nice thing is that this is part of this triumvirate of Mexican directors that came out really in the fall of last year. Three great movies: Babel, Children of Men, and then Pan's Labyrinth. I haven't seen that yet.
Why'd you call it great?
Because
he's heard it's great, and I've heard it's great.
So, you know what?
And I haven't seen any of these yet.
That's
so.
Right. So you can take your, never
opinion
mind.
Opinion, and keep it to myself.
But, you know, this is, I mean, these are, you know, this is just a really, I think, well-done movie that everybody should see if they get a chance. Now, it's best to see in a movie theater. But
great for the whole family.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. But speaking of great for the whole family, the movie, and maybe the other movie that I review in today's Pop Top that I may even like better, is Happy Feet. In fact, I've already seen it twice since I got the disc last week.
Seriously?
It is You know, when I saw it in the movie theater, I loved it, and I liked it even better a second time when I saw it on video.
Now, Vinny, you're a Pixar fan.
I'm a Pixar fan.
You're saying that Happy Feet deserved the best animation Oscar.
This is the first time I have always been a big fan of Pixar. I've always, you know, rooted for Pixar to win the Oscar for Best Picture, because usually they deserve it.
Sure.
This is the one time, because I think Cars, first of all, as much as I love Cars, I don't think it's their best by any means.
No.
I don't think so. Secondly, this movie is, if you've ever had a chance, have you seen it, Brandon?
No.
It is incredibly energetic. It's colorful. It's lively. It's vibrant. It's got great music and great dancing, believe it or not, dancing penguins.
And you know, America can't get enough of penguins, right?
Especially
dancing penguins.
The best.
Here's my thing, and this is why I didn't go see it. I have kids and everything, and I'm sure I will see it eventually. Anytime Whoopi Goldberg or Robin Williams does a voice, I automatically don't want to see it.
All right, but let me.
I don't understand why that is, and they always announce it during the trailer. And Whoopi Goldberg does a voice. I'm like, yeah, well, then I don't want to see it.
Yeah, but you know what? Let me step back here, because actually I said in my review that this is Robin Williams' best vocal performance in years.
Since Aladdin?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay. I would say easily. Yeah. I mean, no, seriously, because he actually plays two different penguins in the movie. And there's one particular, these little penguins, right? The five little penguins that... Oh, you haven't seen it? I'm the only one who's seen this movie? Five little penguins
this
who
is
are
the Vinny show.
That's right. No, I'm going to be done here in a second. But the five little penguins who are like these, who are portrayed as these sort of little gang of Latinos. That's and Robin Williams does this little penguin called Ramon, and they're just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But really, get a chance to see this movie. It's the best animated movie. I mean, just pure animated movie. I think I've seen it in years.
Boatload of money during the Christmas season.
It was just a huge breakaway hit.
And does it really have a subtle or not so subtle environmental?
Yes, it has.
Global warming.
Yeah, measure? You know, and I take it. I take the. You know, in my review, I said, look, those conservative pundits who trash this movie because they said it quote sneaks in a pro environmental message into the movie without telling them, how dare they do that? You know, that is the most ridiculous accusation. I mean, it is so. I can't believe these guys really need to get a life. And shame on them for arguing against a pro-environmental, pro-wildlife protection message. What's wrong? Who could possibly be against the protection of, you know, penguin wildlife?
You mean to
tell me that Glenn Beck and Neil Cavuto would actually want to see these penguins die at the end of the movie?
Well, here's my problem is, and it's sort of a fascism of thought that I'm seeing, is that what is wrong with seeing something that you don't necessarily agree with?
Also, yes.
I don't understand why everything always has to be shot through your own personal mental prism in order for it to be acceptable information. I watch movies all the time, and I was like, okay, well, I don't agree with that, and they were a little heavy-handed here, but so what? I mean, grow up. So you don't agree with
Well, and here I can't imagine why anyone would necessarily be against these messages. Two, their argument was that this movie was supposed to be family entertainment, and all of a sudden you see this message movie about pro-environment. So what? I mean, it's actually part of the story.
Can't those two things coexist?
Well, according to them, no. But that's why they're complete idiots. This is
That's why we're right and they're wrong.
Well, they're absolutely
wrong. You
got
that right, Jack.
That's right. And you know, this is a fun movie. Go see it. Go buy this movie. Don't even rent it. Just go out and buy it.
And it's not going to turn you into a crystal-rubbing hippie, right?
Well, it might do that.
Really?
No.
Oh,
I'm just
kidding. Okay. All right. Okay. Who's next? Sam, you got something?
I think Sam has some things to say.
Sam time.
I'll take the kid segue into Meet the Robinsons, which opens this Friday. Mm-hmm. Disney's latest animated picture, which you could see in 3D, which is kind of interesting. I saw it in 3D, but I'll talk about that later. It's a pretty good kids flick, family friendly. I laughed out loud several times. It's got some of the strangest Disney humor I've ever seen. A couple of jokes you'd expect out of South Park. Not of their raciness, just of their oddness.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not taking my kids to this movie. It's like South Park.
Oh, brother. I just explained myself. Vince makes me so mad.
Apparently one of Sean's kids was kind of freaked out.
Yeah, explain that story.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't...
A little intense, a little frightening?
A little frightening for his... how old is his oldest son? Six?
Yeah, six or seven-year-old.
Yeah, he was really scared by it. He had nightmares.
I wonder what. There is an evil hat in the movie that wants to take over the world, but I find the idea of an evil hat... I'm laughing now. I think it's hilarious.
I grew up on Lidsville with Charles Nelson Reilly, so I'm okay with evil hats. Yeah, I know. Sam, well, who's only 12 years old, doesn't get that reference. 12, but my fellow Gen Xers will probably get it.
Or Odd Job from James Bond.
Oh, good one.
I know
one.
That one.
Good one. Yep.
Sean did get nightmares from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and the Big Hat, so that probably explains why his son got freaked out.
The original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, there is an image of a chicken with its head getting cut off during the boat ride scene. I've never forgotten it.
Really?
And that movie yes.
Really? I don't
when they're taking
that.
The boat ride, there's the eyeball. Right after the eyeball, there's a chicken and an axe, and it chops its head off. And I've never
Darren,
forgotten
is it possible
it.
You made that image up in your own mind?
Somebody was splicing
I will bring it in tomorrow, and I will prove it to you. Except
do you have an unrated version?
Yeah. I've got the lusty version.
You've got the Luis Buñuel version.
I promise you, in the Gene Wilder version, there is a chicken mutilation scene, and it's terrifying. It's when they're riding the boat.
I guarantee it. Are you sure somebody didn't grab a print of Pink Flamingos and took that one scene?
No, and I was not high when I watched it. So, anyway.
Though you were high afterwards.
Absolutely.
Well, you're high right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, whenever I do podcast, I always try to, you know.
You gotta keep it real.
Huh?
So, what's funny though is I gave it I give it 3 stars, a mild recommendation. It's fine, it's good. But then, so I talked with the filmmakers yesterday. They had a roundtable here in Salt Lake. And after talking with the director, the art director, realizing how much effort they put into it, their thoughts behind it, you're like, this is the best movie of all time. You know, after you talk to somebody, it really makes you appreciate the movie more, which is, I'm glad I wrote my review before going to talk to them.
So did you bump up your star rating?
No, like I said, luckily it was already in stone. Mm-hmm. But you know, I
you know, have you ever talked to anyone, a filmmaker, after seeing their movie and you hated it, you really didn't expect to, but you have to interview them,
yes,
and kind of give up a front that says, oh, you know, I,
yes,
really liked your movie.
Just last week, as a matter of fact, there's a new LDS movie called The Dance coming out, and I watched
it. I actually read for it.
It's a
I did.
Well, no, hey,
I went to the set and did a little feature about the filming of that movie.
It was shot in 10 days or something.
Now, what's this movie about?
Is what the guy said. Well, The Dance comes out April 6th. It's about a group of Mormons living in Boston who get together for a stake dance one night. I know I'm using Mormon terminology, but there it is. So they get together, and it's basically three different relationships working it out. There's a young dating couple who talk about, you know, do we like each other, an old couple who's unhappy in the marriage, and a middle-aged couple that they fall in this forgotten niche of Mormons, of like a divorced single parent or a guy who's 35, never been married, may as well be an outcast as far as Mormons are concerned. So it deals with these kinds of issues. It's the kind of thing, though, that shouldn't be in movie theaters. Forgive me for saying so. It should be
on... Is it going to play in movie theaters?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, at least locally. It should be on the Hallmark Channel, and it'd be fine. People would watch it.
Feel
good.
If you were in it.
Well, yeah.
You know, it would play in
3,500 screens across the United States.
Yeah, the guy they were looking for my role was supposed to be overweight, though, and
were you
going to
be the DJ?
You didn't want to pack on it.
The guy that
was the smoking,
come on,
anti-smoking
Robert De Niro
guy.
Did it. Why can't you?
I'm not going to put on weight for the dance.
Wise move. Wise move.
So Sam, it was just way too sappy and predictable.
Predictable, sappy. The one nice thing it is it's not like these dumb LDS movies, which, you know, almost treats its people with scorn, how stupid and silly and slapstick, and anyway, I despise those kinds of things. But it's still it's not cinema. It's made for TV quality. That's my, and then I watched it, and I had to interview the director and lead actor. So yes, I had to pretend to be nice.
Michael
Flint.
I'm as fake as can be. I don't like any of you. I'm just pretending to be nice. Oh, kidding. Wow. Jokes. Kid. Jokes. But anyway.
Okay then. What else do we have, Brandon? What have you been doing this week?
Well, speaking of movies opening this week, there's one that probably only maybe 5 or 6 people in all of Utah will see, because it'll only be here for a week. And it's called Climates. It's a Turkish film, and Sam may have seen it. It's opening this Friday at the Broadway, and I have to be honest, I generally like foreign movies, but I could not stand this movie. It is one of these sort of arty, pretentious things where there are 7 or 8 minutes of film going by with no dialogue, the camera barely moving. We're supposed to be these profound silences between the characters, and very little happens, and by the end you're just tearing your hair out or falling asleep. So
wishing you were watching The Dance instead.
That's right. The Dance is probably a Citizen Kane compared to this.
It makes you wonder how a movie like that can even get distribution, you know? Ooh. I mean, up front you'd think someone would see it.
Well, it won some Critics' Prize at Cannes. And I'm sure there are some, you know, people who will find some profundity in its, you know, composed visuals and whatever. But I just found it
maybe in Europe
incredibly tedious.
Yeah,
and annoying.
Well, I don't know if there's a market for it as far as making money. But does anybody familiar with the Japanese filmmaker Ozu? He made like Floating Weeds. There are movies like this. The camera doesn't move. It sits there and watches the action, using the term loosely, unfold. But Kurosawa, a much better known Japanese filmmaker, hated those kinds of movies. Like, why do I want to watch this? Let's get some action. Let's get some samurai, some fluidity.
Yeah, because this is, after all, cinema. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly. If I want to look at something for 7 minutes, I get a window.
Right. Yeah, or I mean, read a book.
I don't mind, you know, a poetic, meditative movie if it has something to say and if it's just beautifully shot and there's a compelling story. But this.
Yeah.
Good Lord, how long is this movie?
It's only 97 minutes, but it felt much, much longer.
Mm. Well, let me ask though, have you seen Cachet?
No, is that the French thriller? No.
Because that has a lot of long silences. But for
French
me, I was
now, there's,
nailed.
There's an oxymoron for you.
Hey.
You know, movies like that can happen, where they're kind of quiet, but they're just 100% compelling.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think Cachet is one of those, but it doesn't sound like climate.
So this Turkish director, no one we know of? Or
He's made a few other things. His last name is Ceylan, Nuri Ceylan. He's not a big name in the U.S.
Is he related to Spielberg? That's the only one I know.
Well, the weird thing is that he casts all his wife. He casts himself as the lead, and then he casts his wife as the female lead.
What the?
Oh my God! It kind of sounds like a Vincent Gallo vanity project. You know?
Does anyone here like
without the moral sex?
Some recommendations and some thumbs up, some thumbs down. Yeah, some warnings.
In fact, you know, we're not even talking about Pursuit of Happiness, which is the other movie.
Yeah.
The Pursuit of Happy Feet.
Yes, which I thought was okay.
I love the Pursuit of Happiness. I really loved it.
You did too?
Absolutely loved it.
Teary-eyed the whole time?
I don't know if it's that, but I really liked how not sledgehammery it was. Obviously, you know what you're getting into, and I like that it handled its topic with so much ease and class, and it didn't hit you over the head like a patch ass.
My only argument
like
is it could have been too. Yeah, but my argument is it could have been a little bit grittier.
Yes.
Maybe so. And there are some deliberate.
You saw it too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I think he
deliberate
does
omissions.
I think Will Smith does a good job, and his kid James Smith does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
He is a good actor. I mean, I think Will Smith can.
Although it did feel a little sanitized. I mean, here he is dragging the kid around, and the kid never complains once.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I guess it accomplished what it set out to do for me, and that's to sort of give you that uplifting feeling without feeling overly manipulated, the way a lot of movies like this can do.
And they didn't play the obvious race card. Which
exactly.
They could have
done. Exactly. Yeah. And there are some funny lines and some good performances all around.
Yeah, because really the sad thing about that is the fact that there were a lot of people like him. I mean, I think a lot of people, particularly, I don't want to get political again, but I'm going to, conservatives who think that, you know, there's welfare mothers who just, you know, they take advantage of the system. But no, there are plenty of people out there that are like this guy, Chris Gardner, who really are motivated to make a better life and try everything that they can to make a better life, but there are a lot of things that stand in his way. People who need just a little bit of extra help, and we're refusing, you know, as a government to help them. That's the thing that I really sort of got out of the movie, is the fact that I think that, you know, it's too bad because there are plenty of motivated people like this guy. It's just that we're not willing to help them like we should. You know, yeah. I mean, and he talks about Chris Gardner in the extras, you know, about him in the extra supplements, talks about how, for example, the mission that he goes to, the homeless shelter that he goes to every once in a while with his kid, how important that was, that they help these people every day, you know, I mean, helping millions of people a year. And, you know, they're not getting the extra help that they need, things like that. So, it's a good movie, and I enjoyed it.
But still recommended by the four of us in varying
degrees.
Sponsored by Rubik's Cube.
and as a matter of fact, in the extras, there's one documentary on just the history of the Rubik's Cube, which
as it should be. That's the movie I'm going to go see.